We are thankful to the Almighty God that you are here with us today in worship. And let me just state the obvious. The obvious is there are so many people across this world that seek to know God in a ceremonial way. What I mean by ceremonial, there are those today that have elevated this day. And this is the Lord's Day, the first day of the week. We worship, as Brother Lindsey Baker Jr. said, we worship every first day of the week in spirit and in truth, John chapter 4 and verse 24. Let me say that again. Every first day of the week, not just Easter Sunday, not just with Mother's Day, not just around the holidays. Brothers and sisters, we are not ceremonial Christians. We have to be Christians every day of our lives. So for those visiting, welcome to the Church of Christ that meets on Miami Gardens Drive. And in moments like these, we are now meeting through this virtual medium where you can still see, hear, participate, commune, every aspect of worship. But I want to just share this because I need to just make sure we teach before we get into our lesson today. The word Easter is used only one time in the King James Version of the New Testament, of the Bible prior. Acts chapter 12 and verse 4. Turn over there. Acts 12 and verse 4. Let's go ahead and break this down real quick. Acts the 12th chapter and the verse is 4. I want you all to turn over there with me as I turn there as well. Acts 12 and verse number 4. Acts chapter 12 and the verse is number 4. Once you get there, say amen. All right, let's go ahead and get that over there. Just one. Acts chapter 12 and the verse is number 4. Here the Bible records, and when he had apprehended him, when he had arrested him, Peter was arrested by Herod. And when he had arrested or apprehended him, he put him in prison and delivered him to the 4 quaternions, or 16 soldiers, to keep him, intending after Easter, to bring him forth to the people. Now, here, the only time you'll see it in the New Testament, it wasn't referring to a holiday of sorts where dealing with the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so I'm not here to bash or be, quote unquote, Debbie Downer as it relates to, a time of year where folks are focused on Christ. But Christ doesn't want ceremonial observance. He wants our obedience. And the point I'm making today, saints, especially our visiting friends, this word Easter is translated Passover, intending after Passover, Acts 12 and 4, to bring him forth to the people. So this is this translation, Passover. Let's deal with that today. And we will turn our attention to 1 Peter chapter 1. 1 Peter chapter 1. Let's take a look at verse 18 and 19 as Brother Brandon read in your hearing. 1 Peter 1, verse 18 and 19. We're going to deal with Passover. We're going to deal with the Lamb of God. We're going to deal with the 4 characteristics. And if you have some paper, I want you to write down 4 S's. 4 S's, top to bottom. S, 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 and S. We're going to fill those blanks in just a minute. But the Bible says in 1 Peter chapter 1, and beginning at verse 18, for as much as you know that you were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold from your vain conversation received by tradition from your fathers. Just hold your point for a minute. That word redeemed means to be purchased, to be bought back. We were not redeemed. See, our redemption, you can't buy God. There's no amount of money you can pay to buy your salvation. So we're not redeemed with corruptible things of silver and gold. So you can get rid of that one. We were not redeemed with money. We were not redeemed with our vain conversation. That word conversation is translated in the Greek as lifestyle. I live a good moral life. That ain't gonna save you either. So you can't be redeemed with money, no matter how much you have or don't have. You cannot be redeemed with a good moral lifestyle. I don't bother anybody. I'm here in service on Easter. No, that ain't gonna save your soul. And you certainly cannot be saved by tradition from your fathers. So if you're in grandmama's religion and mama or daddy's religion, you need to be a Christian. Now, if your mom and dad or grandma are members of the Lord's church, amen. Thank God they taught you. But one of the things that's so important today is the Bible lets us know in verse 19, but with the precious blood of Christ, the Bible lets us know how we are redeemed. But with the precious blood of Christ, as of a lamb without blemish and without spot. So the redemption process of being bought back, being purchased. There has to be a means of exchange. I mean, you know, if you will, if something is purchased, you know, when I give money to Publix or Winn-Dixie or Kroger or A&P, you give them money and give you product. So what was the means of exchange to redeem us? The Bible lets us know that that which is of value, priceless value, is the blood of Jesus Christ, as of a lamb. And so now I need to do something that we do quite often when we teach. We got to show you the biblical pattern that precedes the passion. We need to show you the type or the figure before you see the real thing. So when Peter talks about the redeeming blood of Jesus Christ as of a lamb, I got to take you back to the Old Testament. Now, why do we go back to the Old Testament? Because the Bible says in Romans 15:4, for whatsoever things are written aforetime are written for our learning, that we through patience and comfort of the scriptures might have hope. Let's go back to Exodus chapter 12. And for your benefit, since I'm going to deal with a few verses, we're going to put it on the screen for your benefit as well and for your convenience. Then we're going to take off. Exodus chapter 12, beginning at verse 3. Let's go ahead and look at it, brother. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel. Now we recognize there were nine plagues. Nine plagues had, you know, infected. Get this now. Look at the relevancy of this. Nine plagues had infected Egypt. And the tenth plague, killing of the firstborn, was on its way. And God told Moses, he said, get the people together. And look at verse 3, what the Lord is saying. Speak ye unto all the congregation of Israel, saying, in the tenth day of this month, they shall take to them every man a lamb according to the house of their fathers. A lamb for a house. Don't forget that now. A lamb for a house. So this lamb that's going to be taken needs to be sufficient for the house. And if the house will be too little for the lamb, let him and his neighbor next unto his house take it according to the number of souls. Every man according to his eating shall make your count for the lamb. Let's watch this now. In verse 4, so you take a lamb for a house, and the lamb has to be sufficient to take care of, to account for the souls in the house. Well, I hope you all are paying attention today. The lamb has to be sufficient for the souls in the house. Verse 5, your lamb, not just any lamb now, shall be without blemish. You heard Peter say it earlier, without blemish, a male of the first year. Ye shall take it, the lamb, out from the sheep or from the goat. Set it apart. I'm going to tell you about that word in a minute. Set this lamb apart. This lamb that has to be a male of the first year. Something that's never happened before. If you were this male of the first year, not just some recycled lamb. No, sir, no, ma'am. Verse 6, you shall keep it up until the 14th day of the same month, and then the whole assembly of the congregation of Israel shall kill it. You see, blood shed is as a result of something being killed. This lamb had to be slain. This lamb, this male of the first year, a lamb without blemish, without spot, had to be killed in the evening. And the Bible says, and this is the Lord speaking to Moses, and they shall take of the blood and strike it on the two side posts and on the upper doorposts of the houses wherein they shall eat it. So this blood of the lamb, the blood shed, the blood of the lamb has to be put on the side posts and the upper lintel, if you will. Go ahead, let's go drop down to verse 11, Exodus chapter 12. Stay on the line, saints. We gotta build this from the basic pattern we'll find in the Old Testament. And thus shall you eat it, with your loins girded, your shoes on your feet, and your staff in your hand, and you shall eat it in haste. Here it is. It is the Lord's Passover. Hold your point now. It's the Lord's Passover. So what God is saying, and remember Acts 12:4, Passover, Easter is translated Passover. So where did Passover come from? Here it is, the 10th plague. The 10th plague, and God's going to let us know right now, Passover was a literal act that God chose, that God ordained, not for bunnies and chocolates, nothing wrong with either one of them now in their context, but people have lost their mind in terms of tradition. Just stay with the text. Verse 12, for I will pass through, this is the Lord talking, the land of Egypt this night. Lord is saying, tonight I'm coming through Egypt. I sent nine plagues, but the 10th one is going to be it. And I will smite. I translate that word in parentheses for you. It will strike all the firstborn. See, when the Lord strikes, you better be ready. Let me say that again to our visiting friends. Don't play with tradition. Don't get caught up in tradition. You better know the word of God. The Lord said, I'm striking tonight. And I'm letting my people know that prepare yourself before I strike. And the Lord said, I will smite, kill, strike all the firstborn in the land of Egypt, both man and beast. And against all the gods, small g, of Egypt, I will execute judgment. Look at what he says. I am the Lord. See, that's why I'm thankful to God to be a member of the Lord's church, the church of Christ, because it belongs to him. The church ain't mine. It ain't Lindsay. It ain't Brother Rick's. We're elders in the Lord's church. We have oversight. We are here to help serve and to feed the flock. But God knows this church ain't ours. And no man, if a man says it's his church, believe him and get out of there. And the blood shall be to you for a token, a sign upon the houses where ye are. And when I see the blood, this is the Lord talking. When I see the blood, I will, here's your Passover, I will pass over you. And the plague, the infection, the strike, the smite, that when God smites or kills all the firstborn in Egypt, both man and beast, as it says in verse 12. When I see the blood, see, if the blood wasn't applied, then you will face death. I will pass over you, and the plague shall not be upon you to destroy you when I smite or strike the land of Egypt. And the Lord said, this day shall be a memorial. You will remember this. That's why they were talking about Passover in Acts chapter 12. They were still keeping the Passover feast. And ye shall keep it a feast to the Lord throughout your generations, and ye shall keep it a feast by an ordinance forever. This was to the children of Israel. God didn't say all Gentiles observe the Passover. This was specifically from the Lord to the children of Israel for a reminder of what happened in Egypt. So now, as we think about this Passover, as we think about the Lamb, Jesus Christ, the Bible says in 1 Peter 1 and verse 18, it talks about him being the redeeming blood of the Lamb. But I want to stay with this Lamb for a minute, because as I said earlier, I want the brothers, Gail, Lenny, go over to Leviticus chapter 22. Leviticus chapter 22, please. I want you to turn over there. Leviticus, the 22nd chapter. And I want you to look at beginning at about verse number 21. Leviticus chapter 22. Let's begin reading at about verse number 21. Let's give some people some time to get there as well, brethren. Leviticus chapter 22. And let's begin reading at about verse 21. And here's the point. As we think about the Lamb, as we think about how God operates, recognize God won't just accept anything. Leviticus 22, beginning at verse 21. Read the Bible. Come on.
And whosoever offereth a sacrifice of peace offerings unto the Lord to accomplish his vow, or a free will offering in beeves or sheep, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein.
Don't read.
Blind or broken or maimed or having a wen or scurvy or scabbed, ye shall not offer these unto the Lord, nor make an offering by fire of them upon the altar unto the Lord.
Now hold your point, Gail. Hold your point, G2, for a minute. So now let me just make some application. When we think about the message to the Levitical priesthood here, if you offer, verse 21, you offer a sacrifice to God, unto the Lord, it shall be perfect to be accepted. There shall be no blemish therein. Don't bring any raggedy stuff to God. Verse 22, blind, broken, maimed, having a wen. That W-E-N means having sores. Here you come with, well, I'm going to keep my good lamb at home. I'm going to bring this old lamb with scurvy. We got some sores on it. He limping. Don't bring any raggedy stuff to God. And brothers and sisters, let me just say this again. When we come to worship, as we tell, I mentioned this last week, I'll mention every Lord's Day. If you are in worship right now, you need to be locked in. Locked in. Listen to the word of God so we can apply it to our lives. Because I'm just convinced that some folks are just, we're just too ceremonial. Yeah, when people used to say the thing, well, you know, you're going to make me go to church. Old man going to come out. Quit talking foolishly. As children of God, the pattern from old is don't bring me anything that's broken, maimed, blind, with sores, anything except your best. I hope, trust, and pray that we will give God our best today. As I will say to some of you, and you know, as I look out in this audience, I can't see everybody, but I want everybody to just govern themselves accordingly. Get out of that kitchen, and you all sit down and listen to the word of God. And I'm going to call it straight. If I was sitting in worship today and I had some distraction, I'll tell y'all, sit down. Again, lock in on worship. Thank you. Amen. I'll call you out in a heartbeat. Let me get back to the lesson right now. Verse 23, Gail, read. Come on.
Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, that mayest thou offer for a free will offering. Before a vow, it shall not be accepted.
Hold your point, Gail. So wait, don't bring me a three-legged lamb. Don't bring me a lamb with one eye. Don't bring me, the Lord is saying, I will not accept you just giving me half attention. And well, we on Zoom and, you know, we're in worship and Brother Gail preaching and Brother Rick teaching and Brother Lindsay, you know, encouraging us through prayer. But I'm going to sit back and relax. You better consecrate your mind, dedicate your mind, and participate. You can worship in vain on Zoom. Let me just say that one more time. You may be sitting back doing everything in the world, just locked, sitting back, hide your video, doing all kinds of stuff. Sit down and pay attention to God, just as you would if we were sitting in the building. Nothing changes, saints. Let the church say amen to that. Don't get comfortable. Please. And the reason I'm taking you here, because I'm going to go to the New Testament in just a minute. We got plenty of time today. Plenty of time. The Bible says in verse 23, a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous or lacking in his parts, don't bring me anything that's over, you know, you don't dress up the lamb. Now you're ceremonial. Now I got to do this. Don't dress up, you know, your lamb all pretty and you just all raggedy through the week. The lamb is raggedy every day of the week. And now on Sunday, you got the lamb all shampooed and he all cute, looking spiritual. That's us. That's us. You can laugh. See, superfluous means over and above. Why is a lamb different on Sunday than a lamb is any other day of the week? Be you. Be spiritual every day. Let me move on. If I spend more time here, we'd be here till midnight, which may not be a bad idea. Either a bullock or a lamb that hath anything superfluous over and above, or lacking, something that's missing in his parts, thou mayest offer for a free will offering, but for a vow it shall not be accepted. Don't bring that in here. Give me verse 24, Gail. Come on.
Ye shall not offer unto the Lord that which is bruised or crushed or broken or cut, neither shall ye make any offering thereof in your land.
Brothers and sisters, I think we've made the point. We made the point over and over again. The bottom line is this. God is not pleased with nothing but our best. Not just on a certain Sunday in April, but every Lord's Day, every day of our lives. And for those listening that are not members of the body of Christ, I want you to listen very carefully to where we're about to go. Because those four S's I mentioned earlier, the first S is sanctified. The second S is sinless. The third S is sacrifice. And the fourth S is salvation. Let me hit that again for the benefit of those who are taking notes, and we appreciate that. Nothing's changed with teaching and preaching. Sanctify, sinless, sacrifice, and salvation. And so we're going to deal with all four of those aspects, not as it relates to a physical lamb in Exodus or a physical lamb over in Leviticus, but those were the types, the figures, the foreshadowing of the lamb. And we think about the lamb. Brother Ferreras, turn over to John chapter 1, brother. John, the first chapter. I want you to give me three verses. Start at verse 29, drop down to verse 34, then we're going to drop down to verse 36. Brother Ferreras, take your time getting over there, brother. Let's go to John chapter 1. John, the first chapter. And we want to take a look beginning at about verse 29. John, the first chapter, beginning at verse number 29. Now, remember, we talked about it. We started in Peter this morning, where he talked about how we are redeemed. Not with silver and gold, not with tradition, not with a good lifestyle. We went over to Exodus to really deal with Passover. We cross-referenced that with Acts 12 and 4. Cross-reference Acts 12 and 4 with Exodus chapter 12. There's your Passover. Passover was a feast to remember how God passed over the children of Israel when the 10th plague came. It had nothing to do with the religious holiday that we apply today. Let's make myself clear. Now, some are saying, I can't believe I'm in worship on a Sunday, and this gospel preacher talking about that I bought this Easter suit, and he telling me that I shouldn't do all this other stuff. You can buy whatever you want to buy, but know why you're doing it. We worship God every Lord's Day. I thought Lindsay was going to preach my lesson today. Every Sunday we worship God in spirit and in truth. Every Sunday, and next Sunday is no less than this Sunday. Let the church say amen. John chapter 1. Let's find out who the Lamb of God is. Let's recognize that this is above and beyond the Lamb in Exodus, the type, the figure, the pattern, above and beyond the Lamb in Leviticus 22. Let's find out who he is. Now, this is about 1,500 years later when John the Baptizer, because John wasn't in the Baptist denomination, John was the baptizer. That's what he did. He's not the head of anybody's church. So if you're in a Baptist church today, it's time to come out and get in the Lord's body, the church of Christ. Read the Bible in John chapter 1, beginning at verse 29. Come on.
The next day, John seeth Jesus coming unto him and saith, Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world.
Behold, so John the baptizer, see, John wasn't a Baptist in the context of denomination, but John was the baptizer. And John said, Behold, look, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. So John knew that he was the one. Behold, look, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Drop down to verse 34, Brother Ferreras, please.
And I saw and bear record that this is the Son of God.
So John not only said, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. Remember, redemption, we were not redeemed with corruptible things as silver and gold, based on lifestyle, based on tradition, but the precious blood of Christ. So John the Baptizer in John 1 and 29 says, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sins of the world. That same John says, the Son of God, the Lamb of God is the Son of God. John 1 and verse 34. Drop down to verse 36. In case you missed it in verse 34, he's going to hit it again in verse 36. Go ahead and read.
And looking upon Jesus as he walked, he saith, Behold, the Lamb of God.
So you got it coming and going. If you look at that contextually, he saw Jesus and says, Behold the Lamb of God. He said, I now recognize it's the Son of God. And then he sees Jesus walking and said, Behold the Lamb of God. The four S's as it relates to Jesus Christ. Brothers and sisters and visiting friends, recognize this. When we think about what God has done for us today through his Son, Jesus Christ, he's not just a pattern. He is the Savior today and every day. And that first S, sanctify, if you look at the pattern, back in Exodus chapter 12, they took that sheep, that lamb, out from among the other livestock. They separated it and dedicated that lamb for the house. That word sanctification and the word consecration is from the same translation. When you are consecrated, you are dedicated for a specific purpose. Get this now. Sanctified means to be separated. So when you think about separate sanctification, its truest form, in its purest form, means I am set apart for a specific use. That is why every Lord's Day, we as children of God, we purpose in our heart to worship. We purpose in our heart to give, to sing, to pray, to listen, and to hear, and to add here. That means do what you heard. And so the lamb wasn't just any lamb, without blemish, without spot, without any such thing. And it was set apart for a specific use. Jesus Christ was sanctified. Stay in John chapter 1, Gail. John chapter 1. Let's drop to verse 14. Lenny or Gail, whatever way y'all want to do it. John chapter 1 and verse 14, because God didn't send us just anybody. He sent us his only begotten Son, set apart and dedicated. John 1 and verse 14, brothers, go ahead and read. John 1 and verse 14. What does the Bible say? Don't make me quote it.
And the word was made flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld his glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth.
So the Bible says that Jesus Christ, the Word, capital W, became flesh and dwelt among us as of the only begotten of the Father, the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. Brothers and sisters, visiting friends, the only begotten Son of God, Jesus Christ, God sent us heaven's best so that we can have a right to the tree of life. And so that word dedication, Jesus says in John chapter 5 and verse number 30. He said, I seek not mine own will, but the will of the Father which sent me. He was dedicated. He's the only begotten Son of God, set apart from everybody else, above and beyond any angel, anything, Jesus Christ, the Son of God, the Lamb of God, was set apart, and he was dedicated to the will of his Father. That was John 5 and verse 30. In John chapter 8 and verse 29, Jesus says, I do always those things that please him. Brothers and sisters and visiting friends, I hope, trust, and pray, we recognize and understand that this sanctification process, set apart and dedicated, Christians are set apart. May we be dedicated to the Father's will, to do the Father's will. Jesus says, I always do the things that please him. I came not to do my will, but the will of the Father which sent me, the only begotten Son of God. And so let's understand something. When something is sanctified, it requires obedience. You can't be dedicated to your wife and not be faithful. You can't be dedicated to the church and not serve. So we're sanctified. I wanted to stay here for a minute. Jesus Christ, the Bible says in Hebrews 5 and verse number 8, though he were a son, yet he learned obedience by the things which he suffered and became the author of eternal salvation to all those who obey him. Jesus Christ, although he was a son of God, sanctified, Lamb of God, he was dedicated, faithful until the end. So your first test, sanctified. I can't exhaust it for time's sake. I want to make sure everybody understands. He was set apart and he was dedicated until the death on the cross. Sanctified. The second S that we share with you is sinless. Brethren, let's go over to Hebrews chapter 4, and let's look at verse 15. Sinless, Hebrews chapter 4, and verse 15. And there's a pattern you want to understand. When we go from sinless to sacrifice, you will see that the pattern with the priests, they had to take care of their own sins first. But our Savior, make it personal, my Savior, your Savior, our Savior, was sinless. Hebrews chapter 4. And the verses 15. What does the Bible say, brethren? Read.
For we have not an high priest which cannot be touched with the feeling of our infirmities, but was in all points tempted like as we are, yet without sin.
Listen to that Bible now. It was tempted in all points like as we are, yet without sin. Was tempted in all points just like we are tempted, yet without sin. That's why we want to think when we talk about being Christ-like. May we understand what Jesus Christ has done for us. Tempted in all points. Don't ever tell it a lie. Nobody knows what I'm going through. Christ knows. He suffered, but yet without sin. 1 Peter 2 and 2, who did no sin, neither was guile found in his mouth. That was 1 Peter 2 and 22. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he hath made him to be sin for us who knew no sin. Christ became sin for us because the payment for sin is death. He died not because he did something wrong. He became sin. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21 for your notes. 2 Corinthians 5 and 21. For he hath made him. The Father made him. He sanctified him. He set him apart. He was dedicated for your sins and mine. He didn't do anything wrong. We are the ones who sin. Romans 3 and 23. Amen, church. For he hath made him sin to be sin for us who knew no sin, that we might be made the righteousness of God in him. We are made righteous because of the Lamb of God, the Son of God, sanctified, set apart, dedicated, who knew no sin, but yet God made him to be sin for us. To God be the glory. Your first S, sanctified. Your second S, sinless. Talking about the Lamb of God. Your third S, following the same pattern, a lamb that was set apart without blemish and without spot, not just any lamb. A lamb that obviously had no blemishes or sin, if you will. But that lamb was sacrificed. It was killed. And the quickest way I can do this is to go to the book of Hebrews, Gail and Lenny. Hebrews chapter 7. The lamb had to be sacrificed. Everybody, for the most part, those that recognize and understand religion, I got all kind of texts this morning. People I haven't talked to in years are sending me texts, Happy Easter, and all of that. Now, they're doing it in goodwill and all that, and I appreciate all of that. Where were you last Sunday? Happy Lord's Day. Amen. Next week, Happy Lord's Day. So we're ceremonial. And so people just need to be taught. Share this with everybody you send this to. Share it with everybody you know. The bottom line is, today is the Lord's Day. And the Lamb of God, who was sanctified, who was sinless, was also the sacrifice. Hebrews chapter 7. Let's begin reading at verse 26. Hebrews, the 7th chapter. Let's begin reading at verse number 26. Go ahead and read the Bible, brother.
For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled, separate from sinners, and made higher than the heavens.
Hold your point, Gail. Look at what, see, that verse encapsulates what we've preached thus far. The Bible says, for such an high priest. Now, let me just make sure we're clear on the high priest. The priest went into the temple, making a day of atonement, Yom Kippur, where the high priest went in. You know, but understand something. Once a year, only the high priest would go through the holiest of all, into through the veil, through the curtain, and be in the very presence of God. So only the high priest could be in the presence of God on the Day of Atonement once a year. But now we have a high priest, the Bible says in verse 26 of Hebrews 7, for such an high priest became us. We just read that in 2 Corinthians 5:21. God made him to be sin for us. He became flesh. He dwelt among us. Although sinless, he was a sacrifice. For such an high priest became us, who was holy, harmless, undefiled. There's your sinless. Separate, there's your sanctification. Separate from sinners and made higher than the heavens. Sanctified and sinless. Keep reading, son. Verse 27. Come on.
Who needeth not daily, as though high priest, to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins, and then for the people's. For this he did once when he offered up himself.
Oh, Gail, I like the way you read that, brother, because you emphasize once. What makes this sacrifice better? The ultimate sacrifice, the Lamb of God, to be distinguished and to be compared with the lambs they had, because not only was it an ongoing action back in the Old Testament, but the Bible says the high priests, these were men. And guess what men do? Mankind, we sin. Verse 27, the Bible says, who needeth not daily as those high priests to offer up sacrifice, first for his own sins. That's why man's not the head of the church. Because we all sin. I'm not exempt from sinning because I'm an elder in the Lord's church and a gospel preacher. I need to ask forgiveness just like everybody else. Amen, saints. We're human beings. They had to take care of their sins first, and then the people's sins. But Jesus did this once when he offered up himself. The third S of four, sacrifice. He offered himself. He willingly obeyed and did the will of the Father. Go to Hebrews chapter 9. Hebrews the 9th chapter. Stay in the book. Hebrews the 9th chapter. Let's go to about verse 22. Turn over a couple pages. Hebrews chapter 9. We'll take a look at about verse 22. Let's take it down to about verse 26. Hebrews the 9th chapter. We'll take a look at it. Y'all still on the line, church? Hebrews the 9th chapter. Let's take a look beginning at verse 22. Now we're dealing with the Lamb that was sanctified, set apart, dedicated. The Lamb that was sinless, without blemish, without spot, without any such thing. The Lamb that was a sacrifice. But you have to understand something. When the Lamb was sacrificed in Exodus chapter 12, it was killed in the evening, and there had to be blood. There had to be blood. Please don't leave me now. Passover was a memorial. That was a feast that was observed to remember how God saw the blood and passed over them. So God saw the blood and passed over. Hebrews 9, Brother Ferreras, and beginning in verse 22, read.
And almost all things are by the law purged with blood. And without shedding of blood is no remission.
So if there is no blood, there is no remission. The pattern was the lamb was sacrificed. And as a result of that sacrifice, continuously in the Old Testament, there was a rolling forward. Just rolled it away, but it had to keep doing it. Jesus Christ one time shed his blood, the Lamb of God. With no shedding of blood, no remission of sins. Verse 23, here it is.
It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these. But the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these.
There is no question that the sacrifice of Jesus Christ is much better than anything man can do. Anything that's ever been done. There's nothing compares to what Jesus Christ did one time for the sins of the world. Never to be repeated. There's no duplications. There's no alternatives. There's no substitute for the sacrifice of Jesus the Christ. Read, brother.
For Christ has not entered into the holy place made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us.
So now the Hebrew writer is making reference to what we mentioned earlier. That Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, when the high priest went into the holiest of all, he went through the curtain, the veil, as by translation, and he was in the presence of God. He did that over and over again. But now Jesus Christ, one time, sacrificed, sanctified, sinless. And the Bible says, for Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands. We're not talking about a physical temple. We're talking about life. He died for us. This is the real thing. This is not just some, you know, brick and mortar. The church is not a building. Amen, saints. The church meets in a building. The church can meet in a tent. I did a tent meeting in New York years ago. Saints of God met under a tent. The church met. Let's not get confused and lose our mind over a building. We pray God we're able to come out and socialize. We can still socialize now, but come out and be in each other's company and hug and greet one another. That's going to be interesting when we go back. How you doing, brother? Let me move on. For Christ is not entered into the holy places made with hands, which are the figures of the true, but into heaven itself. We're not talking about a physical temple, but heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us. So the high priest, let's get this right, went through the veil into the holiest of all, and he was in the presence of God. Christ went to heaven itself, sitting on the right hand of God, sanctified. Sinless, the ultimate sacrifice, not over and over again, one time for the sins of the world. Go ahead and read verse 25. We're not done yet. Come on, Lenny.
Nor yet that he should offer himself often, as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with blood of others.
See, the high priest went in every year, Day of Atonement, Yom Kippur, with the blood of others. We keep hitting the same nail. I want you all to understand how great the sacrifice is, how great thou art. We sing the song. We sing Amazing Grace. We sing, have you been to Jesus for your cleansing power? Are you washed in the blood of the Lamb? On this day and every day, when we stand up and preach the word of God, let us recognize how powerful and simple the Bible is. The Bible says he didn't go in there with the blood of somebody, another lamb. See, the high priest, he didn't shed his blood. He went in with the blood of a lamb, with the blood of others, in other words. But the Bible says Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. Verse 26, Lenny, come on.
For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world hath he appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself.
It was not through the blood of others. It was through his own blood. It was through the blood, the cleansing blood of Jesus Christ. Sanctified, dedicated to the Father. Sinless. He was made sin for us. Not only that, Jesus Christ was the sacrifice. Not a pattern, not a type. He was the sacrifice for you and for me, for the sins of the world. Remember in Exodus chapter 12, a lamb for a house? The lamb has to be sufficient. The blood has to be sufficient to cover all the souls whose sins are remitted. It's not John the Baptist. It's only Christ. And brothers and sisters, I will close with this. As we think about, as we prepare to close, let me correct myself. Because I don't want y'all getting too excited. As we prepare, as we think about closing, salvation, your final S, salvation. Now, if we look back at Exodus chapter 12 and what they were to take, they took hyssop. Hyssop is a plant. They took the plant, and it's like a, you know, it's got the twigs and something, as it blooms, they can become like sponges. If you look up hyssop, just look it up when you get some spare time. And you look up some images of hyssop. So you took the hyssop, you dipped it in the blood of the lamb. And then they use a hyssop, and if you see what I'm doing with my hands, they would swipe it on the side post and the upper door post. Now, my question is, was the power to save in the door? Was the power to save in the hyssop? Was the power to save in the man who was actually applying the blood? The answer is no, no, and no. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. There's power in the blood of the Lamb. Jesus says in Matthew chapter 26, brethren, Matthew the 26th chapter, and the verse is 28, Matthew, the 26th chapter, and take a look at verse 28. What does the Bible say over there, brethren? Matthew 26 and verse 28, read.
For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
Jesus said, this is my blood of the New Testament. See, it's a New Testament, a new covenant. We're no longer, for those who are listening and participating with us today, please understand, the Church of Christ is the New Testament church. We're not under the old law. What do you all think about this with Moses? Well, that's great. I can read it. We can study it together. But Moses has no authority over my soul. Nothing in the Old Testament has authority over my soul and yours. Jesus said, this is my blood. This is my blood. Read it again, Gail. I don't think they heard you, brother. Read it again. Come on.
For this is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins.
When Jesus Christ hung on that cross, when he shed his blood, the old covenant was done. It ended. See, a testament, translated covenant, a last will and testament. A testament is not enforced until after somebody dies. I told my kids, let me tell you something, that will I got set up, you ain't getting nothing until I die. So don't get any ideas either. Amen. Amen. Let me come back. See, some people go crazy. They want their inheritance early. And sometimes take matters into their own hands, literally. Hey, y'all be careful now. Let me go back. Jesus said, this is my blood of the New Testament. The new covenant that was put in force when Jesus Christ hung and died on the cross. When Jesus died on that cross and shed his blood, remember, a lamb for a house. Remember, the lamb has to be sufficient. This is my blood of the New Testament, which is shed. Not just for a few. Brother Gale just read it. Which is shed for many. No black church, no white church, just the Church of Christ. Shed for many for the remission of sins. The Hebrew writer wrote eloquently in Hebrews 9 and verse 22, for without the shedding of blood, there is no remission of sins. There is power in the blood. And I got to take you back to the Old Testament one last time before I make my final point. Let's go back to Leviticus chapter 17. Please turn back here. And you need to put this in long-term memory. This is a great scripture as it relates to patterns, types, figures, shadows of what is to come. When we think about the Lamb of God that was sanctified, the first S, the Lamb of God that was sinless, if you will, the second S, the Lamb of God, which was the only sacrifice, your third S, and as we close out on salvation, go back to Leviticus chapter 17, Leviticus the 17th chapter. I'm going back there with you, brethren, Leviticus 17. I hope you're still online, saints, Leviticus 17. Let's look at verse number 11. Watch what the Bible says here, Leviticus chapter 17, and the verse is number 11. There was no power in the hyssop plant. There's no power in the man who swiped it on either side and up top. There was no power in the door, something magical about the door. People walk around with holy water. There's no magic in that water. You can pour that out. Brothers and sisters, and again, there may be someone online who are, what I just said, I'm just like, it blows you away, you're offended. I don't mean to offend you, but I got to tell you the truth. Am I your enemy because I tell you the truth? Having somebody come out and put some holy water on you. What makes that water holy? Nothing. We got to stop with all this tradition. And people are confused. People are sitting at home right now. They need to know the gospel. The healing power of Jesus Christ. Because the water is just an element. If you don't obey God through his word, you can't be saved. So where is their power? Leviticus 17 and verse 11. Read.
For the life of the flesh is in the blood, and I have given it to you upon the altar to make an atonement for your souls. For it is the blood that maketh an atonement.
Brother, there's power in the blood. The Bible says the life of the flesh is in the blood, and it is the blood that maketh an atonement for the soul. The pattern in the Old Testament, the blood of a lamb, the blood sacrifice, the day of atonement, the day for your sins to be dealt with and remitted, if you will, temporarily back then. But now the atoning sacrifice of our sins through the blood of Jesus Christ, the Lamb of God, which taketh away, here it is, which taketh away the sins of the world. And so now I talked to you about Easter when I started, Acts 12 and 4. But the word Passover. See, now, brother, somebody may be listening saying, brother, you've made sense thus far. But the word Passover, there's still a Passover in the New Testament. So don't you tell me, I got friends and family that observe a Passover. There's a Passover, and you know what? You got me. Let's turn to 1 Corinthians 5 and verse 7. We're going to find out who the Passover is. We're going to find out where our focus needs to be. It's not going back and observing a memorial that was dedicated, that was relegated, if you will, more appropriately put, to the children of Israel. Let's see what Passover is. We got Easter, which is translated Passover. So let's take it the other way then. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7. 1 Corinthians 5 and 7. Let's get this right now. I appreciate you catching me. Whoever you are out there, I appreciate that. 1 Corinthians 5 and verse number 7. Let's keep it honest. The Bible says, purge out therefore the old leaven. Basically, anything that's going to cause a distraction, that's going to infect. See, the word leaven, yeast, it's a germ. It infects. Get rid of anything that infects. Isn't it funny how the Bible has these references to things that can infect us? Now more than ever, people hear that word infection or thing viral, it takes you a different place now for the rest of our lives. Look at what God has done. I'm not saying, again, we don't know. As Brother Rick said in class, God allows things to happen. But now people, when it comes to cleanliness, washing, infection, viral, will never be the same. You and I will never be the same. But we as children of God, it's in the book. The Bible says in verse 7, purge out therefore the old leaven, the germ, the yeast, that ye may be a new lump. It's like baking bread. Get rid of the old leaven. You may be a new lump as ye are unleavened. We're no longer under the Old Testament. It's a new covenant, but here it is. So now Paul, writing to the Church of Christ in Corinth, says this in verse 7, latter part. For even Christ, our, not the children of Israel, our, the New Testament church, our Passover is sacrificed, put to death for us. So what do we observe? We observe the death, the burial and resurrection of Jesus Christ. When do we observe it? It ain't just on a Sunday in April. It's every Sunday. So if you join us today because you wanted to get some Easter service, well, you got it. And next week, you can get it again. And the week after that, you can get it again. Drop the ceremony and consecrate. The Bible said life of the flesh is in the blood. And it's the blood that makes atonement for the soul. Christ is our Passover. And so as we think about it, as we think about the cross, as we think about what God has done for us, I hope, trust, and pray that your mind, not just ceremonially, not just traditionally, but may our hearts go back to the cross. In John, the 19th chapter. I want you to turn there with me. I told you I was preparing to close. Now I'm closing. That's two different things. John 19. We're going to start reading it about verse 32. I want to read it. Oftentimes, I finish up a lesson, I'm quoting this, but I want to read it, and I want you to see my Bible in my hand as I read this. Then came the soldiers and break the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. See, there was one in the middle, and there was two on either. There was one on either side. Total of three. They came to the first. And the Bible says, break the legs of the first and of the other, which was crucified with him. They broke the legs. That expedited death. They would suffocate. When you think about that from the biological, physiological process, they broke their legs, immediate death. But the Bible says in verse 33, but when they came to Jesus and saw that he was dead already, they break not his leg. There was no need to break his leg because he was already dead, sacrificed, crucified on the first day of the week. The Bible says, crucified, he got up on the first day of the week. But one of the soldiers, verse 34, with a spear, pierced his side. And forthwith came there out blood and water. If you've been on a line today and you recognize that Passover, Exodus 12, when God saw the blood, he passed over them. The blood had to be applied before there was deliverance. If the blood was not applied, there was no deliverance. And the Bible lets us know that when Jesus was piercing his side, came there out blood and water. How can the blood be applied to your life today? Well, the blood is applied when you hear and believe the Jesus Christ, Son of God. Not only do you hear and believe the Jesus Christ, Son of God, you got to repent of your sins. You got to change your mind and say, I want to come out of tradition. I don't want to get a Mother's Day, Easter, and Christmas. Don't be that three-timer. Just be consistent and obey the gospel. Hear and believe the gospel, the good news of Jesus Christ, how he died for our sins, was buried and rose again the third day. Repent of your sins, change your mind. Confess Christ to be the Son of the living God. You can do that today. I believe that Jesus Christ is the Son of God. Make that statement or respond in the affirmative. Be baptized because you come into contact with the blood of Christ when you go to the watery grave of baptism. When they pierced Jesus in his side, forthwith came there out blood and water. If the blood's not applied, if you have not been baptized into Christ, added to the body, the church of Christ, you are outside of Christ. The blood has not been applied. You can't apply the blood. Lord, come into my heart. I'm a sinner. You see, the blood has not been applied. Let me be clear. Somebody prayed for you. Blood's not applied. You see the pattern in the Old Testament. Hear the Bible clearly. The blood has to be applied. When you go, and see again, we talk about that holy water. There's nothing holy about two parts hydrogen, one part oxygen. Nothing holy about that at all. But when you step out by faith, see where I'm pointing? When you step out by faith, you've heard and believe that Jesus Christ died for all the world's sins. And you believe that. He was buried and rose again the third day. Early Sunday morning, he got up. People are celebrating Resurrection Sunday. They haven't obeyed the gospel of Jesus Christ. It's simple, not traditional. It's concise, not ceremonial. When you hear and believe that with all your heart, and you're willing to change your mind, repent of your sins, confess Christ to be the Son of God, you go down in the watery grave of baptism. Bible's in Acts 22 and verse 16, and now why tarriest thou? What are you waiting for? Arise and be baptized and wash away thy sins. Call on the name of the Lord. And as Jesus Christ is faithful, dedicated, sanctified till the end, we need to be faithful until death. The sacrificial lamb gave his life for all of us. Would you give all for Jesus? Today is a day of salvation. Don't elevate one day over the other when you haven't seized the day. There's a phrase in the Latin, carpe diem, which means seize the day. I'm begging you, on behalf of the Almighty God, seize the day. Today is a day of salvation. When we talk about a lamb for a house, Jesus Christ was that lamb, and he has a house. His house is the church of Christ. He died for it. And if you're here today, I pray to God that you will come, because the fountain, the blood is ready. He's already shed his blood. You need to apply it through the water grave of baptism. Be baptized and wash away your sins, calling on the name of the Lord, as we together stand and respond, if you will, to the song of invitation. Won't you come?